LegalizeFreedom.com. Why are we here? Where do we come from? Where are we going? From the nature of reality to the future of humanity. Beyond politics, poverty, and war. LegalizeFreedom.com.
Greetings and welcome once again to LegalizeFreedom.com. I'm your host Greg Moffat, and my guest today is publisher of the Trends Journal and founder of the Trends Research Institute, Gerald Celente, who joins us to discuss the outlook for 2015. What in the world is going on? Each day seems to bring with it a new geopolitical crisis, yet another political debacle, more dire economic warnings, increasing social unrest, one more environmental threat. But what does it all mean, and what can be done? How will it end? Gerald's Trends Journal is the only magazine in the world that pinpoints how today's current events form future trends and how they will affect your business, career, family, and future. The Trends Journal provides unbiased insights, analysis, and forecasts of critical financial, political, economic, business, retail, entertainment, technology, science, and other trends that are fact-based, data-driven, and on the cutting edge. Gerald's track record speaks for itself. He's been forecasting worldwide since 1980. No one has been so right on so many issues so often. Hello and welcome, Gerald, and thank you so much for joining us today on LegalizeFreedom.com.
Well, my pleasure to be with you, Greg.
Now, Gerald, today we're going to be discussing some of the issues raised in the latest edition of the Trends Journal, of which you're the publisher. For listeners who don't know, just briefly let them know what the journal's about.
Well, what we do is we look at over 300 different trend categories, everything from geopolitics to economics to environment to food to healthcare, you name it, we cover it. And we've been doing this since 1980 and publishing the Trends Journal since 1991. And I would say as all of the magazines or most of them around the world shrink and become lower quality, we keep expanding and growing and putting in the best quality that we can. So, for example, although it's digital, it's hard copy as well. And it's the finest paper and photographs. All of the quarterly journal is advertising free. We say it's history before it happens. And when you look at the events that are unfolding today and you read the back trends journals, they speak for themselves. And we also do trends in the news each night, each weekday night. We cover the real news and what trends are going to lead to and how they're going to develop. And we also have a trends monthly, and we have conferences here in Colonial Kingston, New York, on trends in various subjects.
Okay, Gerald, the first thing I want to ask you about today is the oil price that crashed in 2014 and continues to actually edge downwards. What's your take on that? I mean, is it the Saudis just trying to regain control of the market, or are they acting as some kind of U.S. proxy, hammering Russia? What's going on?
We've been on top of this. Again, we do trends in the news, as I mentioned, and every day we do oil, gold, and the markets. And oil prices peaked in June of 2014 at $115 a barrel. And at that time, the excuse for them going up that high was the destabilization in the Middle East and the Ukrainian crisis escalating. And then they began to drop. And right away, you know, we noticed it and said, something's wrong here because this is the height of the driving season in the States and oil prices should be going up. And then, of course, things came out just like you said about, are the Saudis doing it? Because first the Saudis came out and said they were going to cut production, and then they said they weren't. It's much bigger than that. It's not only oil. It's copper. It's nickel. You can buy a ton of rebar, reinforcement rod, in China cheaper than you could buy a ton of cabbage. There's too much supply and not enough demand. Again, I mentioned to you we covered trends from a variety of areas, and all things are connected. Here's a number that your listeners may know and others may be skeptical of, but anybody could, you know, Google it up and they could get the fact. It is a fact. 85 people in the world have more money than half the world's population, 3.5 billion. In the United States, they just did a study that the gap between the rich and the poor in the U.S. is now wider than it was during the Gilded Age. Goes back to oil. Demand is down around the world. China is in a recession. They're just not reporting it as such. China, for example, when I mentioned copper prices being down to five-year lows, China consumes 40% of the new copper mined each year. They're not doing that anymore. So then you have to put all the pieces together. If China's not manufacturing and their satellites, you know, the other cheap labor countries, that means the United States and Europe aren't buying things, so they're not manufacturing. And that means that the rich natural resource countries like Australia, like Brazil, and Chile, and Bolivia, and Canada, they're not exporting natural resources. That's why your oil prices are low. It's a matter of too much supply and not enough demand. Yes, the shale boom in the United States that's added a few million barrels a day is part of the oversupply. But the bigger issue is the lower demand. So that's what this is about, because when you start again putting the pieces together, in Europe, they're worried about deflation. This isn't deflation. It's a depression. When people have no money, prices go down because people aren't buying this stuff. It's as simple as that. But simpletons are in charge. But they got better names. They call themselves, you know, presidents of chancellors and this is and that's. You know, they always roll out a red carpet. So that's all this is. The world is in a depression, a lot of it. And they still don't call, by the way, what's going on in Greece and Spain. They don't call that a depression. They call it a recession. So and Ireland, and you know, you look around the world, country after country. So this is big. And then the implications are, they say, oh, that'll mean it'll be more money in consumers' pockets. And, yeah, about $1,000 more a year, maybe. Yeah, and it'll do something to boost the budget a little bit. But it's just a reallotment of where you're going to spend your money. So rather than the oil companies getting it all, you know, maybe Burger King and McDonald's will get a slice.
Now, you mentioned the shale oil situation in the US, and obviously the oil price in itself overall is going to have an effect on that. It comes at an interesting time because over here in the UK, 2014 was the year that British Prime Minister Cameron basically said that he wanted to see fracking up and running here in the UK. And I'm in touch with some groups who are protesting at this movement. And basically, they've said the whole thing seems to have rather stalled. I don't know what your take is on that and whether we're seeing an effect on the shale oil situation in the US, because a lot of people said that was basically in bubble territory and a lot of the companies were never going to make any money.
Well, that's exactly what's going on. Of course, same things happened right here in New York. The governor said they banned fracking. You know, it's an easy one to do now because they're not making any money as they used to because it's too expensive to pull it out. So that's why it's toned down for the time being. And by the way, what's going on over there, you know, off the coast, where they're asking now the UK government, to lower the taxes. Because, oil coming out of the area now, out of the sea over there it's not, they're losing money because of the taxes and the low prices. So now they're asking them to lower taxes. So yes, it's real. It's going to take a lot of pressure off fracking. And, because the companies, but by the way, you see, again, this is all tied together. For example, major banks have loaned out huge portions of their portfolio in energy development. 20% of the bonds in the United States, the junk bonds, are energy related. You're going to start seeing defaults like you haven't seen before. And by the way, one of the ways I made my name as a trend forecaster is I predicted the panic, the crash of, market crash of 1987. One of the reasons why I forecast it was a crash in oil prices. So history is repeating itself in a very different way. These low oil prices are a harbinger, as I said, of much more. It's price wars. You see what happens now during the Christmas season. It used to be they used to put stuff on sale after Christmas. And now they put it on sales 50, 70% off before Christmas.
Gerald, I see a situation, sorry to cut across you, but I see permanent sales in the city here. It's all year round.
That's what I'm saying. So that it's price wars. There's too much product and too few people have most of the dough. It's very simple. And it's worldwide. You see, it ties into our other trends. One of the trends we have is called bankism. It's a banking takeover. You know, you go to these sites and they talk about there's a failure of capitalism. It's not a failure of capitalism. It has nothing to do with capitalism. It's bankism. And four words killed capitalism. Too big to fail. And over in the other side of the pond where you are, they come up with another line of crap and they call it austerity measures. It means stealing your dough, raising taxes, cutting your benefits, giving you your retirement age, putting it up till after you die, and giving the money to the banks. When are people going to call a spade a spade? When are they going to have the courage to see what's happening to them and see the people that are doing it to them? They're not. Most of the people are dead, blind, and stupid. The business that people say, Mr. Salenti, what business should I get into? Try getting into the propaganda business. You could do it very cheaply. It could be really stupid. And you could make a lot of people follow you. And if you need any more proof, look what just happened in France with the slaughter of 17 people. The war on terror. No one's talking about, hey, Sarkozy, you little piece of crap. Didn't you start a war in Libya? Wanker. Hey, Hollande, you little piece of crap. Didn't you start one in Mali? You can't get over your French Indochina trip? Oh, but they attacked us and we're white people. Hey, the United States, they just killed an estimated 50 people, civilians in Syria. We're going after ISIS and they've gotten away. Hey, but kill 17 white folks. That's a different story. And when they're everybody, by the way, in France, you cannot do to the Jewish people that magazine did that they do to the Muslims. It would be against the law. You would be faced with fines. That's a fact. So it's a two-sided street. Everybody buys the crap and everyone falls in line. The people are getting robbed, and the solution from the morons in giving us more war is that more war is going to bring as a solution for peace. So get into the propaganda business. You can see how profitable it'll be.
Someone pointed out that rather ghoulish gathering of world leaders, if you tried to stage that in Parliament Square in London, you'd actually be arrested due to laws regarding public assembly.
Well, and again, they got that war criminal, Netanyahu, right in the front of the line. How many Palestinians did he kill in this past summer? Over 2,000. Destroyed the entire Gaza Strip. How about the millions of people that Cameron and Blair and Bush and Clinton and Obama have slaughtered in Iraq and Afghanistan, in Libya and Syria. Yeah, they don't count. Take it easy. Take it, they're Muslims. Look, I wrote about this in one of my books, Trend Tracking, back in 1996, a national bestseller in 16 different languages. I wrote that you're waking up in the new millennium and Crusades 2000 is raging. That's all this is. It's the 10th Crusade. Capisce?
Now, we've seen commodities across the board getting hammered, as you mentioned. What's your prognosis 2015 regarding the stock market then? Because that has seemed to be completely irrational. Throughout 2014, we were seeing new highs in stock markets, you know, around the world, not across, you know, universally, but it was certainly very significant. It didn't seem to make any sense whatsoever when you looked at the underlying situation.
It's very simple. It goes back to one of our trends called bankism. Interest rates are at record lows. In Europe, they're talking, they have negative interest rates. So what are they doing? You're a bank, going back to bankism. I'll loan you money, Greg, at 0.25%. You can loan it out to anybody, any place, anywhere, and get anything you want for it. So what's happening? All that cheap money is going into stock buybacks, which are about half the markets, because they're borrowing money for almost nothing, buying back the stock, running up the big numbers, and the people on the top cash in and get the big dough. Number two, cheap money, mergers and acquisition activity, is in 2014 was back to 2007 levels. So again, it's only help, it's not helping the 1%, it's 0.01%. That's what's driving the stock markets. It has nothing to do with anything else. That's it, period, paragraph. Cheap money, record low interest rates, and the gamblers are at the casino gambling for free.
Got to ask you about the metals as well. I'm into precious metals as a so-called safe haven. But you know what? In 2014, well, before that, of course, but continuing in 2014, it's been very discouraging. I mean, gold has held out a little bit better than silver. I favored silver for many years. It's been a massacre. And it's almost left me feeling that the powers that would be, someone there is trying to leave a situation that there is no safe haven almost for the regular guy.
Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Treasury Secretary under Ronald Reagan. His website is paulcraigroberts.org. He's also contributed to the Trends Journal. He wrote a piece on gold manipulation. Right now you're seeing demand for physical gold continue to go to new time highs. But on the paper markets, they short it. And it's very easy to do. And they do it during times when trading is very light. As I mentioned to you, the reason the markets are going up is because of record low interest rates. They're devaluing every currency by doing this. So rather than the currencies devaluing and people understanding what's going on, you keep driving down gold prices with it, so gold doesn't look like a safe haven opportunity. I've been buying gold since 1978. I buy gold continually. I buy it for my golden age. I don't trade it. I put it away, and that's the end of it. You saw the new year begin. Gold is moving up steadily. We had forecast, it's a matter of record. When gold hit 1300, we said it had a downside risk of $100 to $150 an ounce. We nailed it perfectly so far. And we said that several months ago, almost a year ago, whenever gold hit 1300. Probably about 7 months ago. I think gold is bottom. It's near the bottom. And the upside potential is enormous when you put together all of the other factors beyond economics. They are leading us to world war. How much more proof does anybody need? This whole charade in France with all the world leaders coming together, or many of them, was an example of it. The war on terror has now become a way of life. As I mentioned to you, this is the 10th crusade, period, paragraph, and it's going to continue to escalate. So when you look at the global instability, and by the way, in Africa as well, much of Africa is destabilized, you're going to start seeing more and more social protests throughout Europe and China. You know what China's greatest fear is? It's people. They got 1.2 billion of them, and they got to keep them happy. They used to report how many riots and disturbances were in China each year, up until about 2 years ago. There were like 35,000 a year, major disturbances. Then, of course, they have all the destabilization in the Western provinces that they, too, have occupied, that the people, the locals want back. That's not going away. So what I'm saying is you have destabilization at a time when you have economic stagnation and decline. To me, it's a precious market for precious metals.
Talked about falling commodity prices, and yet we have a situation where the cost of living for people is going up. This is in Europe, in the UK, in the US. Now, we've seen somewhat fuel prices come down because of the oil situation, and there have also been drops in food prices for connected reasons. Yet we see this, the politicians in the UK like to refer to it as the cost of living crisis. But people employ cognitive dissonance to explain this away. You know, they lose their job, their house is repossessed, and yet the television tells them that we're in, you know, green shoots of recovery are showing. Where would you expect the cracks to show? What sort of indicators we might expect to see, maybe in 2015, that the talking heads on the television cannot just brush under the carpet?
When the markets decline. It has to be an equity market issue. It has to hit them. They could care less about us. And all the media is they're prostitutes, as I call them. And all they are they're whores for the government and big corporations. So when the equity markets collapse and go into panic, they have no other cover. And that's when they start talking differently. So it won't happen until the equity markets. Everybody can go broke. They are going broke, and they won't report it as such. It will happen, though, when the equity markets decline.
Okay, in closing, Gerald, I just want to get a little bit parochial and ask you about the UK political situation. We're having a general election in May this year. That's for a new government. And there's been growing voter distaste for all of the major parties and even most of the minor ones as well. And of course, as I said to you last time you were on, you cannot get a cigarette paper between the parties, the main parties, in terms of policy. But we have seen the rise of small parties, particularly UKIP over here, and unprecedented in my lifetime, commentators are starting to say that the era of coalition government in the UK could be here to stay, that perhaps no major party can win an overall majority. And obviously, over in the States, you've got, you know, red and blue parties that are, you know, just, I can't tell the difference anyway. So what's your take on that, on those general trends in politics? And, you know, would you see perhaps the possibility of a permanent coalition status?
They come up with this stuff about a coalition. They didn't see UKIP coming. I was following it, you know, as soon as it began, you know, to make the news. And they downplayed it significantly as it happened. Now it's becoming a reality. And they're still saying, well, they can never really get to where they need to go. And it'll have to be a coalition. What do they know? They didn't see it coming. And now they're going to say what it's going to be. What a joke. Number two, look what's going on over there in Spain with Podemos party. Out of nowhere, now they have what? If they ran now, they'd win. And then you're seeing that Greece is really the Syriza party. Nah, you know, that they're more of the same. They're like kind of like the Democrats and Republicans. They talk a different game. I don't think there'll be that much difference if they get in there. But then you go to Italy and you had the five-star movement, and that had a lot of potential, but for whatever reasons, and Beppe Grillo, one of them who started it, and probably also helped bring it down to a lower level. But now you're seeing the Northern League take on a new dimension, and it's rising. Then you go over to Germany. Their new party is also gaining a lot of strength. If there's one forecast that I would make for the States, I believe we're going to see a major third party movement in 2016. Because the only choices we have are another Clinton and another Bush. This is America, the land of the exceptionals. You know, that's what they call it, right? The exceptionals, we got two exceptional families that are ruling 320 million people? No, the people are tired of it. If I said to you, Greg, hey, they had an election in Russia, and only, and 74% of the people stayed home rather than vote, you'd say, well, them Russians, boy, people don't like them because look at their government. Well, that's what happened in the United States now, midterm elections. 74% of the people stayed home rather than vote for the Bloods and the Crips. They're both murderers and thieves. They steal our money in the name of austerity and too big to fail and give their buddies tax breaks and loan guarantees and a free ride to Easy Street. And they're murderers. How many more millions does Cameron and Blair, does Bush and Clinton and Obama, Sarkozy and Hollande, and the rest of them have to murder before people will call them who they are? So, to answer your question, a new political party is the only way to the future. And you can't do business with murderers and thieves. So it can't be a coalition to be successful.
Gerald, folks need to get the Trends Journal. Tell them how they can do it.
Simple. Trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com. And Greg, we had a 5.5-hour conference that's also available at our website, trendsjournal.com, that really goes into detail of the top trends of 2015, what to expect, and how to plan for it.
Splendid. Gerald Salenti, publisher of the Trends Journal, thank you so much for joining us once again on LegalizeFreedom.com.
Thank you, Greg. All the best.
Well, folks, that's it for another week. As ever, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, check out the website, which is LegalizeFreedom.com. That's Legalize-Freedom.com, where you'll find an archive of programs offering alternative views on a wide range of topics, including politics and economics, energy and environment, culture, spirituality, history, and the nature of reality. You can also browse and buy a range of publications from our guests, and if you're feeling generous, make a donation to help keep the site up and running. Based on current audience numbers, if everyone who tuned in donated just 5 pence per show, that's about 8 cents US, this could become a full-time, fully funded operation, offering more and more often. During October 2014, over 50,000 of you streamed or downloaded at least one show. Total donations were £7, which currently converts to about $11 US. Whether you listen, donate, or do both, I greatly appreciate your support. Until next time, I'm Greg Moffat, and you've been listening to LegalizeFreedom.com.